Hello and welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns, and in the studio today, we're keen to introduce one of my old comedy mates, comedian Obi. How you doing, Obi?
I'm good, mate. I like the way you said in the studio there when I'm probably about 200 miles away, but
don't tell them that.
It's all lies, John. It's all lies.
That's our secret. Well, it's a virtual studio, isn't it? I like to think. So, I could just say, well, it's a very big studio, which includes it's Glasgow you live in, isn't it?
Yeah, I've always said Glasgow, Moodysburn.
All right, that means nothing to me.
Everybody, well, there's a speed camera. If you're coming from up your way to Glasgow, you might pass it. Or you used to before the motorway. There's a speed camera. Everybody knows the speed camera because you'll get caught.
Right.
It's hid under a bridge.
You've given that away now. Okay, there's a speed camera. So is that all there is in Moodysburn then? A speed camera?
We've got two speed cameras. We've got,
two. Oh, bloody hell.
Two, and we've got a sausage skin factory and a bridge.
Well, that's all you need, really, isn't it?
Aye.
A sausage skin factory.
Yeah, I've got a sausage skin factory in the Devro. A Chinese restaurant, two kebab shops, and three pubs.
What a place, eh? Oh, it's quite a big place, then.
Well, it's all right. It's just a village.
And is the sausage skin factory still going? They don't actually turn them into sausages, then, no?
No, well, the sausage skin factory is basically... They put sausage skin on. So if your sausages, if it wasn't for Moodysburn, your sausages would just be mince.
Well, that's quite an achievement, isn't it?
Basically, people get paid just to put condoms on sausages all day.
Oh, well, I suppose someone's got to do it, you know. So how are you coping with this lockdown? Because I know you used to do quite a lot of running.
Aye, I've been doing a bit. Not as much as... I'm doing a wee bit, because I was meant to be doing the Edinburgh Marathon next month, but that's gone now.
That's gone, yeah.
It might be scheduled until September. There's a possibility now, so.
Yeah. So you get out every day, do you?
I would like to. I've been a bit lazy in the last couple of weeks, but I get out maybe two or three times a week anyway. Try and do a
10K. So, What marathons have you run then? Which ones did you run?
I've run the Edinburgh one four times.
Four times? Bloody hell.
All the same day, John. So
Well, you're running four times in the same day, yeah.
No, I've done it four times, so maybe 10 years ago and another three since then.
Oh, blimey.
So I love it. I quite enjoy it, though. Enjoy the training. Enjoy the buzz. No, the crowd keep you going and the... I really enjoy doing it. It's one of my favourite.
I've done three marathons. This is quite a while ago, though. I think I did the Barnsley Marathon. And that's a bit of a bugger because it's really hilly, you know.
Aye.
But as you say, it's amazing how the crowd lift you. People sort of cheer and encourage you.
It definitely helps because... When I'm out training, running on my own, the long runs, you kind of do maybe the 15-mile, 20-mile runs are tough. But if you've got that crowd behind you, it just gives you that extra boost.
Yeah, that's right. Because you arrive back home and no one knows whether you've run 20 miles or just gone around the block.
I don't think I was a shit, man. Where's my round of applause on a Thursday? I've just run 15 miles. I might time it, John. I might time it next week. If I go out a run, I'll go out and do a 20k, but I'll make sure to come back into Moodysburn bang on 8 o'clock. And when I'm doing the round of applause, I'll just pretend it's for me.
Yeah. You can just wave at everybody. Yeah.
Run up the street. Thank you.
you could wear a stethoscope and do it in nurse's kit. You know, that might.
Aye, could do that.
That'd get you a lot of support, wouldn't it?
Aye. People would hate me though, wouldn't they?
Yeah, probably. Probably
that is the downside.
So, I think you did. Were you telling me once you did? You walked Hadrian's Wall once. Is that right?
Aye. I done four of them in a day as well. So I didn't, So, mate, I done that years ago. It was with a load of comics from Newcastle, kind of area.
Oh, yes. Anybody I'd know?
I'm trying to think who you would know. Silky was there. Who was Scottish? Pardon me. Monty Burns. Don't know if you know him. He's a Scottish guy.
So quite a few of you then.
Aye. Seymour Mace as well. Have you ever seen Seymour Mace?
Yes. Yes.
He's amazing, right? So he was there. There was a few of us. It was a good laugh. So basically, it was kind of between Newcastle and Carlisle-ish. So it was like 100 miles over like 5 days. And every day, it was a charity thing. So every day we walked maybe 15, 20 miles. And at night we would do a gig. So it was pretty good.
Big at night as well. Oh, blimey.
That was where we raised most of the money, which is good.
Yeah. So you obviously must have done a... Did you start off with a gig in Newcastle, did you?
I can't remember. No, we started off walking in Newcastle.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact date. Must have been about 5 or 6 years ago. So we started off walking in Newcastle, and wherever we walked to, I'm sure we did a gig the first night. So we met early in the morning, and we walked 20 miles or something, and then we done a gig that night.
Bloody hell. Sounds quite hard going. And so it's fun. Were you camping or staying in hotels or what?
Camping. So we were camping most of the time. One night we stayed in a hostel, which was luxury. Just stayed on an actual bed. And another night, definitely.
We
stayed in a chapel hall.
So, and did you carry all your own kit with you, or did you have someone
No, luckily, the way we worked it, out of the crowd, one guy used to take the kit every night.
Right.
So maybe we'd all walk, but somebody would take all the kit and take it to the next place. So look, one guy who was driving would have got a skive once a day.
I see.
Take all the gear, which was probably save us carrying all the stuff, which was a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. And how did you get on with the walk then? What was it like?
It was great because I was actually, believe it or not, John, I was training. That was one of the years I did the marathon as well. When I finished, the walk finished on maybe the Friday. It was end of May and I was running the marathon 2 days later.
Oh, Jesus.
I worked out like good training week.
Yeah.
And I felt fine because I'd done a lot of training the months before. The walking was fine.
So
it was all right, you know. I was fairly fit at the time, so I was fine. I just wore a good pair of walking boots. It was all right.
Yeah. And did you get reasonable weather, did you?
I was fine. I think we had a few days of rain and stuff, but it was all right.
Yeah. Didn't pour down on you.
It was a wee bit cold at night, right enough, sitting in a tent. Various places.
Yeah. What time of year was this then?
It was May. It would have been May, so...
I think it'd be cold though, can't it? Yeah.
Aye. So it'd have been end of May, the last week in May, or something like that. Aye, because it was basically I'd done the marathon after it.
Right.
A few days later.
So what you know, you're obviously quite experienced as a marathon runner now then. What sort of advice would you give to someone wanting to run a marathon?
Just turn up on the day with no training at all, with a pair of sandals on. No, you got to do your training, man. It's like one of my mates. Do it right. Don't listen to anybody. I remember when I first done it, and I hate people. Anybody that does this, I decided I was going to do it. I told somebody, and they went, "Okay, you can't do a marathon. Just do a 10K first. Fuck them. Go and do it. But give yourself 3 or 4 months." I just got a
tape plan. Yeah.
And go out and do your first mile. If you can only run a mile, go and do run a mile. And then you can gradually build it up. Because there was one of my mates who decided to do it with me. And he wasn't fat at all, but I was fairly fit. And the first day we went out training, it was in Cote Bridge. He got to the end of his street and he stopped because he was fucked. But the thing is, he stuck to his schedule, the training schedule for 3 months, and he done well. He ran it, and he done a decent time as well.
Good. Oh, that's pretty good going. And And I know you're obviously, you've always been a person to look after your diet. I know that. So I just wondered, what anything you particularly like to eat before a marathon then?
I'm probably, I'm not as good as that great at eating. I go through stages, John, eating healthy. But I think before a marathon, the night before, loads of pasta.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a kind of done thing, loads of pasta. And on the morning, I'll try and have porridge, loads of porridge, and a couple of bananas or something like that. But the night before, loads of pasta, kind of carbohydrates.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of this, yeah. Marathon runners, they have pasta parties, don't they?
Aye.
It's supposed to plenty of carbohydrate, you know. Aye. I think the night before my first marathon, I had a great big chocolate cake, you know, one of these family-sized chocolate cakes, and 4 pints of Guinness.
That's probably not a bad thing.
Yeah, probably not. That certainly kept me going.
Aye.
So do you fancy, is you're obviously hoping to do some more marathon.
I love it.
You don't fancy the London Marathon then?
I'd love to do the London Marathon. I think that was actually meant to be today.
I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Aye, I'd love to do that. So possibly next year. Just for the atmosphere, I think. It's because I've done Edinburgh a few times, I'd like to do a few other ones. I'd actually like to do an ultra.
Ultra? How far is that then?
Well, I think there's different ones. I think there's like 50 mile ones.
Oh, it's a long way.
There's 100 mile ones.
Oh my God.
But I'd like to push myself to do that kind of shit.
Yeah, it's all experience, isn't it, you know? It's you don't know what you can do. I don't think I'm a bit older than you, so I don't think I'll be running any marathons anymore, you know.
Right, though, that's bullshit, John. Tell you why.
Oh, Jesus.
Bullshit, man. When I ran it, right, see, with the first marathon I ran was 10 years ago, right? I was fairly fit, but on the day I ran it, there was a 98-year-old. Ran it.
Eight.
A fucking 98-year-old. And this guy is a Sikh guy, right? He's quite well known.
Yes, I've seen this guy. Yes.
So he's 90, I don't know, I think he cut down to kind of half marathons. So that was 10 years ago. I don't know if he's still about now. Hopefully he is. But he started running when he was in his 70s.
Really? In his 70s.
He took up running. So I hate anybody that says they're too old for shit. He was in his 70s, his wife died, right? So his wife died, he was a bit depressed, so he took up running, and then all of a sudden, he was doing marathons.
Oh my God.
So, I don't know the guy's name, but...
Yes, I know exactly, I can see the guy in my mind, you know?
See him he's got a white beard and a turban on, and just see him running, man, it's like fucking amazing.
Did you actually see him on the day?
I never seen him. I've just seen photographs and stuff.
Right, right. It's probably just my excuse, really.
It's bollocks, man. It's bollocks. There's a guy you should look up. A guy that he kept me going during the marathon. A guy called David Goggins. Have you heard of him?
No.
Right, he's a guy. Right, he was American guy. He's phenomenal. I met him. I actually met him last year at a kind of seminar thing. And this guy, he had a shit life, right? His dad beat him up from America somewhere. His dad beat him up. His dad battered fuck out him for years. He was the only black guy in the kind of wherever he stayed. So he got loads of racial abuse. So he went through shit for years. And this guy became a Navy SEAL. And he ran a 100-mile race. We had no training, and he was pissing blood and stuff like that. He thought he was going to die. We about 70 miles. After 70 miles, but he managed to finish the last 30 miles.
Yeah.
Crazy shit, man. He's just, if you just Google him, he's David Goggins podcasts.
Aye, I will do. How did you meet him then?
I was at a seminar in Birmingham. Basically, loads of speakers on. So there was like David Goggins, there's a few other guys, but the reason I went was because of him. So it was a full weekend of speakers. And the reason being because
was
David...
Was that motivational stuff, was it?
Oh. Aye. Basically, so it was stuff like... all motivation, different speakers. It was brilliant.
Right. Okay, I'll have a look at that guy. Yeah, you're probably right. It's just being bone idle as well.
It's like... And David Goggins, he says, right... he says, like, people, when they think they're at 100%, like, this is his... He's phenomenal. You should read his book. His book's called David Goggins, You Can't Hurt Me.
Okay.
It's on Audible as well, and I listen to him when I'm out running.
Yeah, okay.
And if I feel a bit slow, his voice is in my head, fucking move your ass, Obi, you cunt.
Okay.
So he says, he reckons that when you hit what you think is 100% when you're out running or doing anything, you're only actually at 40%, and you've got so much more in reserve
that
you don't realise you've got. And I was like, that's fucking amazing.
Oh, well, okay, I'll believe that. So going back to your comedy career was going pretty well until
I've been writing a lot just now, which is good.
Say again, sorry.
I've been writing quite a lot the last.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, let's hope it goes back to what it was, because I think I came and saw you at the Fringe about 3 years ago, was it?
All right. It was in Sneaky Pete's.
Yes, I think it was.
Aye, it's a great venue. It's just a good wee.
Is that on near the Grass Market? Is it?
Aye. No, there's a Beehive in the Grass Market. I've done that a few times, and there's Sneaky Pete's, which is on the Cowgate. I've been in that venue for the last 4 years, I think.
Yeah. Well, you got a good house. There's plenty of folk there, wasn't it? And you were. Aye. I think you even made some money out of it, didn't you?
Done all right. Aye, done all right.
That's all right. The tax man's not left in it.
No, I was doing my tax return.
Okay. And so I suppose we've just got to hope that the comedy gets going again and you get back on and you get back performing.
Aye, what about yourself, John? You still doing your thing?
I kind of quit stand up.
You're doing your acting stuff, aren't you?
I've kind of quit all that to focus on writing, really.
All right.
Because, as you know, the theatre's been struggling anyway. Because I did have my two plays. I was performing as the Everest climber, George Mallory.
All right.
I also used to perform a one-man show about the occultist and the mountaineer, Aleister Crowley.
That's right, guys.
It also doesn't help the fact it's quite difficult, but also I live in Inverness, so there's it's a small scattered population, so the number of venues and places you can perform is quite limited. And to be honest, my books and my writing have kind of taken off quite a lot.
So that's your passion thing.
I decided that's what I'm good at, that's what I should do. Okay, well, Obi, thanks for coming along, and I hope you get back performing your comedy soon, and all the best with your running. And been really great to speak to you, and thanks for coming along.
No bother, John. It's been a pleasure, mate. I'll speak to you soon.
Okay, take care then, man.
See you later, mate. Cheers.